All right, 8:45, quarter till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by U.S. Senator Bill Cassidy. How you doing, Senator?
I'm doing really well, Tommy, except for the Saints yesterday. I'm doing great.
Yeah, I need a prescription for that, doctor, if you can write me something to make that memory go away. Let's talk about what happened with Helene and flood insurance and you know, the basic insurance model, right? And I was talking to Tim Temple about this just now, is more people have to pay into it than use it, or else the company's not going to be in business. That's not the way insurance works. The people that pay for the ones that use it are the ones that don't use it. That's accurate, is it not?
It absolutely is accurate. And what's happening with the National Flood Insurance Program is that they are trying to pay back the debt going all the way back to Katrina when federally built levees failed.
Yep.
They're trying to pay back that debt now in addition to spread the risk out among everybody. Now, you can spread the risk out among everybody, but you're not going to be able to pay back that debt and the interest on the debt, by the way, from levies that the federal government built and that failed. So if I'm a little frustrated by this, I am.
No, I can understand.
I'll point out.
No, because you're right. Katrina missed the city. It's the failure of the levees that they built that the studies in Vicksburg showed them would fail the flood walls that they did anyway.
And so now, in that premium that somebody's paying for the flood insurance program, is paying back the interest and the principal on all the accumulated debt. Now, if you just took that money, say, just take the interest. One of the reforms I propose is just suspend the interest and use it to mitigate the risk of flooding. Now, it's been shown, recent report, that if you, whatever you invest in mitigating the risk of flooding, you actually get back much more in terms of decreasing the expenditures from the program. So this is kind of looking forward as trying to make amends for that which is past. And by the way, Helene shows is not just a Louisiana problem, not just a Florida problem. It is a Carolinas problem. It is a Tennessee problem. It is going to be an Ohio problem. And they just stopped writing flood insurance in California, one carrier did, because of a California problem. So we've got to fix the program.
And don't forget North Carolina. I guess you've been, I presume, Senator, you've been in Asheville and that area and Chimney Rock and all that?
I have been. I'm thinking the Biltmore flooded?
Yeah, I have too, and it's a beautiful area. That's 2,000 feet above sea level, 300 feet inland, and I guess I'm just thinking that when it comes to, I don't know, you don't want the government to force people to buy insurance. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. People text me about some kind of national disaster insurance program. I don't know if you do it through a tax or whatever you do, but it just, and I forget what happened with Obamacare and the Commerce Amendment and all. I forgot exactly how that turned out, the Commerce Clause. But the point I'm making is the only way you could have a national insurance plan is if everybody paid into it, right? And then it covered, I'm talking about the model here, and then it would cover forest fires, or not anything that happened within your home, but something that happened exterior. You understand where I'm going with this?
I know exactly where you're going. My problem is I can't get the people from Utah to support it.
Yeah.
Or the people from Wyoming. And now, by the way, they have their own problems. They have drought. They have an occasional flood. But politically, it's been difficult to convince people. So my sights are, what do we do to reform the National Flood Insurance Program? Well, we just voted for a spending bill which reauthorizes it through December the 20th. So we got to still going. We got to get it going for the whole year. Then we need to reform it so that it's going to be more affordable, more sustainable, more accountable. And I've got a commitment that we'll have a hearing on our bill and a markup on the bill next Congress. So I'm pleased about that.
Was this about $206 million from FEMA's Flood Mitigation Assistance Program? What's that for?
Yeah, speaking of which, in the bipartisan infrastructure bill, again, I call it a Cassidy Amendment. You weren't supposed to have earmarks, but we said that there's going to be $3 billion to mitigate risk of flooding, prioritizing areas that flooded in the previous 10 years. Well, that was like Louisiana and Texas and Superstorm Sandy. So we got $206 million this time. Texas got a little bit more this year. We usually get more than Texas. But most of it's going to the New Orleans area. Like almost $52 million going to Gretna for a distributed green network. The city of New Orleans is getting $11 million for elevation projects. Jefferson Parish is getting $9 million. St. Tammany Parish is getting $5 million. all to mitigate risk of flooding. Mandeville specifically, Slidell specifically, St. Charles Parish. This money is coming to our state, to our region, to lower the risk of flooding. And it's all because of the infrastructure bill, and I'm proud to have been a part of it.
What's going on with the FEMA and the methodology and risk rating 2.0? Where does all of that stand? Is anything? Oh, let me clean this up. I'm getting some text here. I said that Asheville was 300 feet inland. Obviously, it's not 300 feet inland. It's 300 miles inland. I misspoke. But well, what's going on with the 2.0? And is any have any books been opened? Is anybody looking at methodology here? Are we any closer to seeing what the hell's happening?
Well, so for those who are listening, the National Flood Insurance Program, which is run by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, put out a new way to rate the risk of an individual's risk of flooding called Risk Rating 2.0. Some people got lower premiums. A lot of people who had never flooded, who are behind flood control structures, are seeing double-digit premiums every year compounding. And when you look at kind of their rationale, it's really not clear. It's really not clear how they're coming to these decisions. So they've met with my staff. They got us on the spreadsheet. You'd have to be there with them explaining it to you to understand it. But they've not put it out there for homeowners and for developers. The bill that we'll have a hearing on and a vote on committee next Congress, which will be like in January, February, March, will actually put in reforms that will lower the cost for premiums. And put in reforms that will do it while maintaining the actuarial soundness of the program. So we got work to do, but I've got a commitment from my committee chair, my committee ranking member, that they will have this hearing and they'll vote on my bill next Congress. We're making progress.
Real quick before I let you go, because I know you got you in Washington right now, Louisiana.
Oh no, I'm in Louisiana, going down to Waggaman.
Are you really? It's lovely this time of year.
It is gorgeous today, although I think it's getting a little hot, but still it's not so humid. It's wonderful.
Waggaman's a great place to be this time of year. What are you doing at Waggaman?
Just meeting with a work site, going over there to Cornerstone Energy Park and meeting with some CF Industries. And, you know, just a lot of good-paying jobs, supporting families, supporting better futures. I'm all about that, trying to bring more business to our state.
I was asking an economist last week about debt and deficit and Social Security reform, and I don't see where anybody ever has the political will to stand up and risk not being reelected to do what it takes. I'm not talking about you, but to do whatever it takes to really reform Social Security or stabilize Social Security despite what we're hearing is going to happen for people that are already receiving it. Your thoughts on that?
So we are working on a plan. And our plan is different than other plans in which we set up an investment fund. Now, I like this because Trump just recently announced he would like to set up an investment fund for the federal government. And John Paulson, who's somebody famous in the finance world, is supporting his idea. I've been working on this for 4 years. And so if Trump's elected, when Trump's elected, we can take this to him, say, listen, if you want to bail out social, we've got everything worked out to put in an investment plan. We put $1.5 trillion in it over 5 years, invest it in the economy, allow the investment to grow just like you do your 401k, and you put every return back into it. And it's about 70 years from now, and that's how long you think about for social, it pays off almost all of the debt associated with Social Security. Nobody gets a cut in benefit. In fact, under our plans, we do things like repeal windfall elimination program, and so we make the program a little bit better. And I like it because Trump is saying, well, this is the way we go. Boom, we got the legislation for it to work.
But you'd have to have the congressional support for that, right?
Oh, absolutely. But we had 14 senators, 7 Republicans, 7 Democrats who were supporting the plan last Congress. And then we reviewed it with the Biden White House. And they just said, no, we don't want to do it. In fact, I may have told you this, but he gives the State of the Union. He attacks Republicans on social. As we walk out, one of my Democratic colleagues says, well, he's running for reelection attacking you guys. There's no way we can get this through. And so we've just put it, you know, okay, we're not going to work on it yet. We're not going to make it public yet. But this is all reported in the newspapers. I'm not telling you anything that isn't public. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Trump is saying, wait a second, he wants an investment fund. We've been working on it, and he can bail out social.
All right. Anything else, Senator, before we let you go?
No, man. Good interview, Tommy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for talking to us. We'll talk to you again soon. Dr. Mr. Senator Bill Cassidy, 855, traffic now, WWL.